Welcome to another message from the teaching team at Elevation Church Australia. For more information about our church, service times and locations, visit elevationchurch.com.au.
Amazing. Hey, great to have you here. I know my wonderful wife, Rachel, already welcomed you, but I'd love to welcome you as well. If I haven't met you before, my name's Marty, and together we get the great privilege of pastoring and leading this location of Elevation. If you're new with us, Elevation is... Thanks, Josh. Is there anything this man cannot do? Amazing. Elevation is one church across 11 locations. Across Australia, we are the only one on the West Coast, but who knows what the future holds for Western Australian Elevation all around. And so it's great to have you here. Last week, just to catch you up for a second, this is like the little bit at the start of the Netflix series that gives you what last week was. So don't press skip recap, okay? I promise. But last week, we started a brand new series, which was entitled Kingdom Come. And we looked at Matthew chapter 6, the Lord's Prayer, where Jesus was teaching his followers how to pray. And so we particularly focused on the phrase that is said, which is, "Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven." And so we discovered that Jesus is not like a Domino's pizza delivery guy in his little scooter driving around. By the way, after I said all that last week, then this week all I've seen is cars with Domino's signs on the top. No scooters at all. But he's not like some delivery guy that comes around and says, "Hey, here's the kingdom for you. Here's the kingdom for you." He doesn't alter every circumstance for us. What he wants to do is, Jesus doesn't want to bring his kingdom to you, but he wants to establish his kingdom through you. And so it's not about just externally changing all the circumstances. It's about Jesus doing something in us, so that in us something can flow to see his kingdom, to see heaven come to earth. That heaven is not just an escape from this earth, even though it's the great hope that we have for the next life, but we can actually bring heaven to earth. And so we said across these weeks, we discovered that we're going to look at some core things that are important, that if we're going to bring heaven to earth, what does that actually look like? And the one we looked at last week seems maybe a little bit simple, maybe a little bit, just easy, but it's so important, is that we need to believe that God's for you. God is for you. No matter what's going on, no matter what your life looks like right now, no matter what it's looked like beforehand, God is for you. Not 80%, not even just 99%, but 100%. God is here and he is for you. And Romans 8:31 says, "If God is for us, then who can be against us?" Who can be against us? And so if you missed last week, encourage you to jump on the podcast, check that out. But then I've got two things that I want to talk about today. And then next week, my wonderful wife, Rachel, wraps up the series, which is going to be exciting. So make sure you're here next week. I will be on the last day of my Kokoda trek next Sunday. So please pray for me because I think I will need it. But I have trained, I promise. Somewhat. It's good, actually. I loaded my pack up the other day and realized that it weighs slightly less than what I've been training with. So I'm like, that's a win. I must have done that on purpose. But Rach is going to be preaching next week, which is going to be amazing. Team's all going to be here, and it's going to be a phenomenal Sunday. But today, like I said, I want to bring two areas that I believe we need to make sure are established in our lives so that God's kingdom can flow through us, so that it's not just about, like I said, externally changing everything, but God doing a work in us. And so conveniently, both these things are found in the one scripture. And so if you've got your Bible, you can turn to it. Otherwise, it'll be on the giant Bible behind me. But it's Psalm 19, verse 14. I love this scripture. It says this: "May the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, my rock and my redeemer." Let me read that one more time. "May the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be pleasing to you, O Lord, my rock and my redeemer." Now, we won't read the whole of this psalm. This is actually the last verse of it. of Psalm 19, and it's written by a guy called David. And what he does in the first part of the psalm, basically he looks around nature and creation and says, "Wow, God, you're incredible." You can, you know, go home and read it later. But he talks about the glory, the majesty, how amazing God is through creation. And then he talks about, "Well, God, if you're so amazing through creation, your words and your principles, they're not only great, but they're good to me. They're amazing. They do something in my life." And then it's like he wraps it all up with this practical application: "Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, my rock and redeemer." And, you know, it's important to understand, those are the two things that we want to talk about today, is the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart. You see, because God accepts us when we understand and accept his son, Jesus Christ. But then how we live our lives and to see the kingdom established through us, there's some things that God wants us to put in place. And just like David prayed, I think that's an incredible prayer for our hearts this morning, that the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart would find God's acceptance. Because you see, words are pretty important to God. They're pretty important. You know, we all know the saying, you know, "Sticks and stones will break my bones, but names will just cause permanent psychological damage." You know, we all know that saying, right? Because words matter. Yeah. They matter. The Bible talks a lot about the words that we speak. Let's just have a quick look at a couple. I'll go through them super fast. But Proverbs 18 verse 21 says, "The tongue can bring death or life. Those who love to talk," which actually is most of us, not just the extroverts, but anyway, "those who love to talk will reap the consequences." Ooh, death and life. What about this one? This takes it up another level. This is James chapter 3. There's a few verses, but we'll read them all. From verse 2, it says, "Indeed, we all make many mistakes." Yep, that's true. "For if we could control our tongues, we would be perfect and could also control ourselves in every other way. We can make a large horse go wherever we want by means of a small bit in its mouth. And a small rudder makes a huge ship turn wherever the pilot chooses to go, even though the winds are strong. In the same way, the tongue is a small thing that makes grand speeches. But a tiny spark can set a great forest on fire. And among all the parts of the body..." This is great. "The tongue is a flame of fire. It is a whole world of wickedness, corrupting your entire body. It can set your whole life on fire, and it can be set on fire by hell itself." Woo! Wow. Where? Okay, two more verses. "People can tame all kinds of animals, birds, reptiles, and fish, but no one can tame the tongue. It is restless and evil, full of deadly poison." I love this summary. "Sometimes it praises our Lord and Father, and sometimes it curses those who have been made in the image of God." Wow. The words that we speak matter a lot to God. They're a big deal. And so obviously we read James and he's just bringing the fire there. Like he's pretty full on. But if we think of it on the other way, I think we can all remember a time where someone may have said an encouraging word to us. And if you think about it, just, you know, step back and think about it logically for a second, it's like words shouldn't have that much impact. You know what I mean? Like a punch to the face. Yeah, sure, like that has an impact. But why is it that words can so define us? Why is it that I want you to think right now, because we've just sort of, you know, let James loose on us with about the tongue and about the words that we speak. But just for a moment, would you remember like an encouraging word, something that someone has said to you that lifted you? Maybe it was in a moment of distress. Maybe it was in, you know, a moment of loss. Maybe a moment of grief. Maybe a moment of just not feeling like you were, you know, good enough, or, you know, whether what you did added up to something significant. You know, am I not pretty enough? Am I not whatever the words are for the rest of the song? You know, whatever it was. But can you remember a line, words that someone said that lifted you up? This is the power of words. They're incredible. And just to reinforce this a little bit, if we rewind back to the creation of the world, we see why words are so important and why they're so powerful. So just for a second, I know you've never done this before, but just imagine that you are God. Okay, you imagine you are God and you are creating the world. There's blackness, there's darkness all around. It says the world was without form, it was void, and darkness was everywhere. Right, just imagine for a second that you're God, right, and you're going to create the world. So you could choose any way that you wanted to create it. You know, you could, you know, let's have a little fun. You could, you know, get your little pinky finger and wiggle that, and boom, the world could appear. You could, I don't know, do a little dance or something like that. I won't say the other words for the rest of that song, but you know, you could do a whole bunch of things, and then suddenly the world appear. But God decides. He doesn't even just think it. But we see in Genesis chapter 1, verse 3, it says, "Then God said," and boom, there was light. Verse 6, "Then God said, the waters separated, and we had sea and we had sky." Verse 9, "Then God said, and there was land." Verse 14, "Then God said, there was sun and moon." 20, "Birds and fish." 24, "Animals." 26, "Mankind in our likeness." You see, this was no accident. God decided to create the world by speaking so that we would understand there is power in God's spoken word. The words that God speaks, are powerful and they create. And you know what? Do you know why this is so important? Is because that last one that I read, that we're created in the image of God. He wanted to show us that the words that you speak, they create an environment. And just like God spoke and it created the natural environment that we see around us today, I want to tell you that when you speak, you create environments. In fact, talking about that as Elevation, if you've been around for a little bit, you'll probably know. If you're here for the first time, we're so glad you're here. So maybe you don't, but it's plastered on our wall out there. But our vision as a church is to multiply healthy local churches all across this nation and, you know, beyond as well. But that's our vision. Our mission, which is how we do it, is wrapped up in one of, probably I think one of our most powerful statements. It says that we create environments. So what are we about as Elevation? We're about creating environments that inspire intimacy with God, relationship with others, and influence in our world. That's our mission as a church. Our mission is to create environments. We understand that we cannot save anyone. That's what God does. But what we're responsible for is to create an environment. And I'm talking more about, even though we do that on a Sunday, and by the way, a little side note, a massive thank you to all those that are involved in our legacy giving, so above and beyond. So this week, I don't know if you noticed, maybe you did, depends how techy you are, but we had new microphones and new lights as well. I can actually see you properly now, and I'm not like being burnt off the stage. It's amazing, the worship team, and we can actually make more room because we actually have enough lights now to spread light and not stick the drums in a dark corner. But yeah, I reckon you should give yourselves a huge cheer. Thank you for being involved in that. First one of our things, if you haven't been, you still can be. I think there's a legacy slip in the back of the seat in front of you. But that's about creating an environment. Because could we just come here with all the blinds up and the light blasting in and everyone just looking around and the music down soft so you can hear yourself singing? I hate that so much. But you know what I mean? We could do that, but we create a certain environment that helps people to engage with God and engage with church. But creating environments is more than just a Sunday thing. We create environments and then God does the rest. You know, we can't heal people, but we can create an environment in our personal lives where we're attentive to the Holy Spirit's leading, where we're filled with faith and not fear, where we can step out and we can pray for people, maybe in our workplace, maybe in our family. And like I said, a massive part of how we create environments is through our words. So my question for you is, what type of environment do your words create? In your home, are they words that bring life or are they words that bring death? Are they words that lift up or are they words that pull down? Let's get a bit real for a second. For those that are married, in your marriage, do your words speak to the potential in your husband or wife, or do they just focus on the flaws? I know we've all been guilty of this, but in case you haven't realized yet, we've all got flaws. And so the words that we speak, do they call people up to the potential that they have, or do they pull them back to where they have been? As parents, do we speak to the potential that's on the inside of our children or our grandchildren, or do we pull them back to where they've been so far? Do we remind them about all the poor behavior that they've had, or do we lift them up to what God's calling them to? Now, by the way, I agree with discipline, and we need to discipline kids and all that sort of stuff, right? But are the words that we speak, are they calling out the God potential that's on the inside? Are they going, I know they're acting like this, but I believe that God has this over their life. I know this is going on, but I believe that there's potential there. In our workplaces, do we speak about problems or do we speak about solutions? Are the words that we speak, do they bring peace or do they bring division? The Bible says, and this is not just for teenagers, this is right across, but to honor your mother and your father. In fact, it's the first commandment that has a promise attached to it. It says, so it may go well with you. Are the words that we speak, are they honoring of our parents, no matter our own age? Do they lift up or do they pull down? You see, for us, the kingdom of heaven is established through us, and so we need to be intentional about the words that we speak because they have creative power. That's why God set up the world like that, so we would understand that the words that we speak create an environment. They have creative power. You know, do you remember being a kid, or maybe just right now, and remembering and hoping that, imagine if I could just say something and it would appear. Do you remember thinking like that? Maybe it was just this morning, you know, like, should I just, you know, say bacon and egg roll and it would appear for breakfast or something like that. I must be hungry. It's food analogies again. You know, I wish I could just say Ferrari and it would turn up. Or I wish I would just say holiday and we'd be, you know, on the way to Bali or whatever it is. And you know what? In a way, we do have that power, but it's just a little bit different. You know, if we speak negatively all the time, it might not happen straight away, but what happens is we build an environment of negativity, and suddenly everything's always negative. If we agree with everyone else that, you know, that whines at work, then guess what? Things will always be bad and always be worth complaining about. But if we speak hope and potential, maybe not straight away, but I want to tell you that it'll happen. It'll start to speak, and God moves on that because the words that we speak are powerful and they create an environment. We want to create an environment of hope. We want to create an environment of potential over our families. We want to create that environment that speaks the potential. I love this quote from Pastor Brian Houston. He says this, generosity begins with the mouth. Yeah. I love that. Josh encouraged us in our generosity. So powerful. That was phenomenal, mate, by the way. So good. So good. But generosity begins with the mouth. You might say, I don't have a lot to give. Can I encourage you and challenge you? You can give words. You can give words. Generosity begins with the mouth. So this week, when it comes to the words that we speak, I'd love to give you a little challenge here. We don't have like a prize wall like the kids have for the challenge, but it's okay. I know, disappointing. Would you do a generous word count? Would you set yourself a goal and say, I'm going to say this many generous words this week? You know, Rach has been studying externally, doing part of the Diploma of Ministry and Theology, I think it's called. Yep, let's call it that, which has been phenomenal. And when she does her assignments, it's always the write it and then quick, let's word count it. Am I there yet? Dang, no, I'm not. There's still 500 words to go. Write some more. Are we there yet? No, still 300 words to go. There's something about a target. When you have it, you want to get up to it, and she needs to get up to it, otherwise you submit it and you don't pass and you have to do it again. But for us, I want to encourage us. This week, would you give yourself a generous word count? I don't know what it is, but if you go, oh yeah, I'll listen to him and I'll say some generous words this week, can I challenge you and be real for a second? Unless you set a target, you probably won't get there. You'll probably forget about it. Something will happen this afternoon or tomorrow or Wednesday or something that just takes you off course. But would you set something, even in your own heart, in your own mind right now, on your own notepad or phone, whatever you're taking notes on, would you say, you know what, this week, the words of my mouth, they're going to be acceptable in God's sight. I'm going to understand that the words that I speak create something. And so with generosity, I'm going to create a generous, uplifting, potential fulfilling environment around my life, around my home, in my workplace, in my place of study, wherever I am. So because, you know, if we're going to see heaven come to earth, God's kingdom established through us, then we need to understand that we create with our words. Create with our words. Second thing that Psalm 19 talked about was the meditation of my heart. Remember it said, let the words that I speak and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, my rock and redeemer. I love that phrase, the meditation of my heart. It's very, you know, very poetic phrase, but, you know, what does it actually mean? Well, I feel like the word meditation has actually been hijacked by the New Age. See, meditation is not a New Age crystal gazing type sort of thing. Meditation has its roots in Christianity. It has its roots in a relationship with God. You see, there's nothing wrong with meditation at all. It's just what you meditate on. You know, if it's the path to inner peace, then I don't know what you found, but I found that there's not enough in me to find the path to peace. I need someone, his name's Jesus, who promises peace to come in. I just can't look inward in myself and find peace. I look outward to find Christ, and he brings peace. So there's nothing wrong with meditation. It's just what we meditate on. In fact, the word biblically has its roots in this meaning of to muse and to mutter. So quick survey, muse and mutter. Hand up if you talk to yourself. That's right. I normally say the first sign of crazy, talking to yourself. But you know what? We all, whether we raise our hand, admit it or not, we all talk to ourselves. Some of us out loud and consistently in all the wrong places, but some of us, usually the introverts, just on the inside. And you know, we may not vocalize it all the time, but all of us are speaking to ourselves. There's always something going on in our hearts. You see, Romans 12 in the Bible gives us this this formula or this picture which goes so well with what we're talking about. Romans 12 verse 2 says this: don't copy the behavior and customs of this world, but let God transform you into a new person by changing the way you think. Then you will learn to know God's will for you, which is good and pleasing and perfect. Wow, that's exactly what we're talking about. How does God change the way we think? How does he alter our thinking? Well, he does that through his word. He does that through the scripture. He does that as we align our lives to his word and what it says about us. You know, we take our thoughts and we ask ourselves, is this what God thinks? Is this what God thinks about my life? We take that, you know, that refrain. So, you know, the word refrain is, you know, most of us think of it as a, you know, stop doing something, like, you know, refrain from smoking. I don't know why that's the first thing I thought of. But anyway, you know, refrain from, you know, eating too much, or, you know, refrain from this. But refrain is actually a musical term. It's like a repeated phrase or pattern that comes back and back and back. And for most of us, well, for all of us, in fact, all of us have refrains that are in our lives that keep repeating and repeating. For some of us, they are, I'm not pretty enough. For some of us, they are, I don't measure up. For someone else, they are, if only that hadn't happened. If only I hadn't made that choice. Or if only that person hadn't made that choice. Or if only this circumstance didn't happen to my life. There's a refrain that keeps repeating in our hearts and in our minds. But God wants to change the refrain that's in our lives. He wants to bring a refrain of hope. He wants to say, no, I can achieve all that God has called me to achieve. He wants to bring a refrain that says, no, I am generous, even though I came from a family background that was tight and insular and wasn't generous at all. There's this refrain that God wants to put in our hearts, and he wants to do that through his word. He wants to do that through the scripture. The scriptures are not just something that we read that tells us about God, but their life and their peace to us, they come into our lives. There's a whole bunch of scriptures that I can quote, not because I've studied them for a message, but but because I've used them to change my thinking. I know I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Why? Because I used it to change my thinking. I know that a whole bunch of these scriptures then start to declare. Why? Because they change my life and they change my thinking. I know from Ephesians, be strong in the Lord and the power of His might. Why? Because I used it to build strength in my life. I know, and this is like the King James version of this, but I know, you know, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, to live your life as a living sacrifice. Why? Because I use that to change my thinking and change my life. And so I want to encourage you this morning that the Word of God is something that we put into our hearts and into our lives. It changes that meditation of our heart. It changes what we think on. And, you know, for so often we need those little words that can help to give us a new language. I remember a few years ago, and there was just some stuff going on, and I felt like whenever I thought about a certain person, they just frustrated me. I was just like, oh, I can't believe it. Have you ever, no, don't put your hand up because they might be next to you or something like that, you know. And so it's actually from the, which is really funny because I didn't know you were using that, but it's actually from the scripture that Josh shared around our giving this morning. But I had a little phrase that I used to say in my head, enlarge and expand. And what it meant to me was, stop thinking like that. I've got bigger thinking for you. I've got a bigger plan for you to be part of. And so when I caught myself thinking like that, I'd say to myself, no, that's right, enlarge and expand, enlarge and expand. Why? Because I needed to rewrite what was going on in my thinking. Does that make sense? And the Word of God allows us to do that. You know what? It's not just positive thinking, even though that's important. Why? Because it's taking it from the Word of God, and there's life in it, there's power in it, there's peace in it, there's hope in it that's above just positive thinking. Why? Because it's the words that God has for you. You see, for some here, you've been singing the same song for a whole number of years. You've been, you know, reading from the same play scripts for a long time. And I want to tell you that God wants to write you some new lines. He wants to write some new lines. He wants to write some new lines about your family. They may have been a certain way like this for the last 20 years, 2 years, maybe it's 2 weeks, but it feels like 20 years. But I want to tell you that God wants to give you a new line. In your workplace, maybe there's been stuff going on, maybe there's animosity, maybe, you know, there's just, you know, whatever. I want to tell you, God wants to give you a new line. Let the meditation of my heart be acceptable in your sight. For some people here, you've had a dream and a vision to do something or be something, and there's been circumstances that have come around to shut that down, and maybe even to limit your dreaming, limit what you think God can do through your life. Maybe you're even a teenager here, a young person, and you're like, oh, I think I want to do this, but I don't know if I'll be able to do that. I want to tell you something, that God wants to give you a new line. He wants to give you a new line of potential. He wants to give you a new line that'll reshape your world. He wants to give you a new line that'll go that, you know what, I'm not past it, or I'm not too young for it, or I'm not too middle-aged for it, or I'm not too, you know, whatever circumstance or life we find ourselves in. But God wants to give you a new line. He wants to give you a new line and new future. And just as a little check as Josh comes and we get ready to wrap up this morning. Just as a little check to go, okay, How do I check if my thinking aligns with God's? Then I'd love to share this scripture with you. Many may know it, but maybe you don't. That's totally fine. Philippians chapter 4, verse 8 says this. And now, dear brothers and sisters, one final thing. Fix your thoughts on what is true and honorable and right and pure and lovely and admirable. Think about things that are excellent and worthy of praise. When it comes to our thinking, when it comes to the meditation of my heart, here's a nice little litmus test for us. Actually, can we just check that scripture back up, Chloe? That'd be awesome. Just so we can get that in front of us. We fix our thoughts. Is it true? Not true like, is it fact, but is it true? Because I want to tell you that God's truth is different to fact. Fact might be that things that have happened in your world that have come to rob and steal and to destroy, take joy away, that might be the fact. But I want to tell you the truth is that God has joy for you. The truth is the doctor might have said one thing, but God has healing for you. Is it true? Is it honorable? Is it right? Is it pure? Is it lovely? Is it admirable? Think about things that are excellent and worthy of praise. I love how it starts. It says, fix your thoughts. I love that word fix. This is the NLT version. For those that are wondering, that fix, like attach, nail on, get some super glue, you know, get some, you know, there's nothing you can't fix without zip ties and gaff tape. You know, get something on there and fix your thoughts on these things. Not just a little accidental, oh, if I accidentally think about great things, or if I accidentally think about things that are admirable or things that are excellent or things that are worthy of praise. No, actually be intentional. Take some gaff. Take that Tarzan grip super glue. Take a hammer and a nail. Take a, I don't know, impact driver, you know, whatever, however big you want to go, and fix, attach your thoughts onto these things. Onto what is true, onto what is honorable, right, pure, lovely, admirable. Think about things that are excellent and worthy of praise. You see, to see God's kingdom invade our lives, to see heaven come to earth, see it come through our lives, we need to understand that God wants us to use our words to create an environment of generosity, of potential, of hope, of love, of peace. I need to understand that He wants His word to come into our hearts. He wants to guide it. He wants to transform us by changing the way that we think. And He does that through His word. He does that through His truth. He does that through His word over your life.